today's episode of Zen Founder, we have a mashup of two interviews with a husband and a wife. And the husband has his own startup that he's launching on the side. You might recall we did this back in episode 11, where we had a husband and wife come in and give their sides of the story. And our guests today are Ken Wallace. He's the founder of Mastermind Jam. You might also know him as co-host of the Nights and Weekends podcast. And we interview his wife, Val, as well. And they look at the two sides of the founder-spouse relationship and what it looks and feels like from those two perspectives of Ken, who is essentially trying to launch this startup on the side while spending time with his wife and raising their children. It's always a tough balance when you're starting up, and we hope today's episode gives you a little insight into some things that you might be encountering in your own entrepreneurial journey. And if you like what you hear and you feel like we bring value each week, you can support the show and you can help us make Zen Founder better by going to supportzenfounder.com, where you can either pledge a one-time amount or offer to give a monthly recurring amount. Even if it's just a few dollars, it helps us get to our goals of professional editing and a higher level of production and potentially, ultimately, multiple episodes of Zen Founder each week. Hope you enjoy.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families. This is our whole work life.
I'm also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this woman, non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So, yeah, one of the reasons that we're talking is when I came on your podcast and talked with you and Val, in part of our conversation, it sounded like there was just some pretty normal, but like a little bit of marital tension going back and forth, maybe particularly around work hours and how demanding it has been for you to have a regular job and then also be working on your startup on the side. So I thought it would be great to talk with both you and Val just about how it's going, how it's feeling.
You know, the struggle is real, as they say. I've been working on starting my own business for many years, well before I married Val. And it's always been this kind of, I don't know, I kind of sound like an addict when I talk about it. Like, I could quit this anytime, right? But it's like, when I started working professionally as a web developer, I don't know, I quickly got the sense that I'd really like to venture out on my own. I gave it a shot back in 2000, 2001, trying to start a SaaS company. Doing that with like $20 in the bank wasn't a good idea. So then I went back and got a job, and I told my employer, I said, you know, I'm going to stick around about 6 months just to refill the coffers. You know, I had a consulting client that kind of went belly up on me. Just going to refill the coffers, and then I'm going to be back out on my own. I just want you to know. And he's like, cool, you know. And that was, what, 13 years ago? So I've kind of always had some things I've been working on. When Val and I got married, and more to the point, when she got pregnant with our son, it really made me stop and examine like my priorities and where, you know, what kind of father I wanted to be and how I wanted to live our life and how involved I wanted to be in his life. Many of my friends and relatives have the kid. And I'm like my sister-in-law, you know, 4 weeks after she had each of her kids, she went back to work and the kids were in daycare, right? And I was staunchly against that. I wanted to be more active in my kids' lives and be able to set my own schedule and, you know, freedom of what I'm thinking about during the day and freedom to take time off for a soccer game or, you know, whatever. So I really just, I just kind of stepped up the efforts when he was born. It just like, you know, the moment I met him for the first time in the delivery room, I just felt this enormous pressure. Like, I've gotten content with the golden handcuffs job and the paychecks, the steady paychecks rolling. And I really just need to step this up and see if I can make something happen for myself instead of relying on an outside paycheck.
It's difficult, to say the least. I think since our last conversation, I've gotten a little better at speaking up and not like holding it in for so long. I do tend to like let it build and then explode. Like the other day, I think it was, it was two weeks ago. It was like Sunday night. And I looked at him and I said, do you know how long it has been since I left this house without children? And I'm not talking about going to work. And he's like, no, I'm like, it's been like 2 months. And I need to be better about like saying, you know what, you need to take a break and watch the kids. I need to go. Like, I know we were talking about getting my eyebrows waxed on our last conversation. And I actually did that like a month ago. So I was pretty happy with my.
You know, that's high priority.
I know you work and you have kids and there's the mommy guilt and the, well, I already am gone to work. So I need to spend every other spare moment with the kids. And I definitely struggle with finding time for myself apart from that. So I need to become a little bit better with just vocalizing that and saying, you know, I need a break. And Ken and I need to become better about having a break together too, because we tend to definitely put that on the back burner.
You know, your kids, especially your youngest and your wife are this major motivator to go out on your own. Yet they're also part of what makes it really hard to be successful in the launch process.
Oh, yeah. Keeping those two in mind is you've got to mitigate risk. I'm risk averse, as is my wife. And, you know, we've got a house and a mortgage and, you know, not just my son, but she's got 3 daughters from her previous marriage with 4 little ones in the house. At one time, there were 5 kids in the house. Everywhere you look is a reminder to be responsible and to not let a ball drop.
The amount of people that you have responsibility to take care for and provide for can't tolerate, like you said, too much risk here. How is the conversation going between the two of you? Do you talk about it quite a bit, or is it kind of mostly a here and there frustrated comment kind of conversation?
I probably talk about it more than she would like. Imagine you're busy, kids just got home from school, you got to help with homework, you're trying to get dinner on the table, and your husband starts rattling on about either day job or the side business and opportunities he sees with that, or a new partnership comes in the door, or a new customer. I'm sure she's just overwhelmed listening to it all because she gets bits and pieces and she doesn't get a chance to understand the whole picture.
Believe it or not, I can imagine that.
I'm sure. I'm open to talking about any of it with her. Any question she has, I always answer. I would say we talk about it a lot, but only about 10% of that conversation is meaningful communication where we're actually understanding one another and getting points across. The rest of the time, there's a percentage of it that's frustration and it gets targeted at the side gig, or there's frustration on my part that I feel stressed to get some self-set deadline accomplished, and that puts pressure on other areas of her life. And so I get pushback from Val about that. Her reactions to those kinds of things are reasonable, right? But I have to admit that maybe only 10% of the conversation is really us sitting down and just rationally saying, okay, now we're on the same page. I understand what you're saying.
Why isn't the 10% a greater portion of your conversation?
I've been giving a lot of thought to that this year because I don't want to see this be a divisor in our marriage, you know, for lack of a better term. There's a lot of ways that marriages go south, you know, money or infidelity or things like that. In some ways, it's like I'm having an affair with a side business, right?
I think she and I actually talked about that analogy a little bit in our conversation.
I haven't listened to that recording back, so I'm just going to hear it for the first time when you guys publish it.
Well, there is this sense that there's this other loyalty. And how does that feel?
Yeah. I try to reiterate that it's for the common good, right? But I'm sure from her perspective, it feels like it's something being done to her and not something done with her, right? Or for her.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a definite struggle. I don't know how people work full time, like mothers work full time and have kids, because I work 5 days every 2 weeks, which is essentially half time. And just, you know, getting the laundry and the groceries and for cleaning. Oh my goodness, that's the bottom of my list.
So you really notice that the things that go faster, the things that are most difficult to maintain are your personal time and then your time with your husband.
Oh, that is definitely the first thing that goes. Everything else takes precedence over those things. And those are really the important things that help you maintain a marriage and maintain your sanity. So I need to be better about that. I've never been good about putting, I think as mothers, we often, you know, put everyone else's needs before our own, whether it comes to buying clothes for the kids versus ourselves or spending time with them versus having time to work out or whatever. It seems like we always put, you know, because that's what moms do. So that's the job. And, you know, I love the job, but sometimes I just need some me time. And I don't know, maybe I need to join the gym and drop him off in daycare at the gym. I don't know what the solution is.
How about fun? How about romance? How about other parts of your life? How are you doing in that department as you counterbalance the real struggle of how busy you are and how hard you're working?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because it's been so long. The last time we had just the two of us go out and just be the two of us, like not go out with friends or not go out with the kids, but just the two of us was when we brought our puppy home last November. So it was a few towns over. So we got a hotel room and spent the night before we went to meet the new puppy the next morning. And that was the last thing. It was like 4 months ago. That's kind of the...
That was like 6 months ago, Ken.
Was it? Oh, man, you're right. It's almost April, isn't it?
Whoops.
Yeah, that's kind of the cadence of it, though. It's like once or twice a year we've had like a date night. And when we do it, we're like, this is nice. We should do this more often, right? And we talk about friends of ours who have like a weekly date night or a bi-monthly date night. It's just on the calendar. Fridays, we do this thing, whatever that thing is.
I complain about the amount of time he spends working. It's definitely, I was not prepared for the amount of time he was going to spend working outside of just his regular job. And at certain points, I have said, you know, no one asked you to do this. Like, why do you have to do this? Can't you just be content, like, working your normal job and then having time with family? You know, the kids are only little for so long. And I've brooked all of these arguments. And I understand it's, like, in his DNA. He is an entrepreneur at heart. Like, he wants this more than anything else. He wants to work for himself. And I understand that to an extent because my dad was self-employed for, I mean, he's 68 now and he's on the brink of retirement and he has never worked for anyone else since he was in his 20s, early 20s. He's always been self-employed. So I understand the self-employed mentality, but at the same time, I keep waiting for, okay, when is it my time? You know, we've been married 5 years this year. When are you going to be available for us on the nights and on the weekends? And when he is with us, I feel like sometimes he's not all there. He's distracted because he's thinking about what he needs to do. And then I'm kind of like, well, just go work because you're not really here anyway. So
is he like on his phone preoccupied or you just get the sense that he's like thinking about something else?
I would say both, or he's talking about it, talking about how much he has to do and he's got to get this done. And he's, you know, so I feel like it's been forever. And I kind of want to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And I know, like, if he ever gets to that point where he can just do his own business, there will be times that he has to work nights and weekends as well. But it would be nice if it was a little bit less.
Although I guess I wonder if more of those experiences or like more of a rhythm of getting away together or even going up to dinner together would decrease some of the guilt that you feel about the amount of work that you do or make it less of a stressor on your relationship. You know, if it would be an important investment actually in the productive outcome of your work.
So I've been trying to focus on little ways that I can let her show that I care about our relationship because we can't always be on an island in the Caribbean. So, you know, whether that be taking time out on Monday night and we sit and watch The Bachelor together, Bachelorette. I hate to admit that.
It's okay. We won't be broadcasting this to 2,000 of our best friends. Ken watches The Bachelor.
You know, and we do. And we'll either lay in bed or on the couch. And that's like a guilty pleasure. And I value that time because it's like time my wife and I get to cuddle for like an hour. Is an hour a week enough? Probably not.
Is it better than nothing? Yes.
Yeah. But I hope it doesn't go unnoticed that I set aside that time for things like that. When the business started making any money at all, I subscribed to Blue Apron just because I remember when we got married, my wife was always saying how she loved it when I cooked. And I love to cook. But when I started working on the business a lot, I stopped cooking on the weekends, right? It was like wife cooks during the week and I cook on the weekends. And then suddenly Ken doesn't cook ever. So I subscribe to Blue Apron, which just makes sure the groceries are here. And I still have to cook it, but at least there's a lot of the prep is not there. There's no recipe selection. I don't have to spend an hour in the grocery store. Just a box shows up with all your stuff and you put it together and you make like a gourmet meal. And that went over like a lead balloon.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because every time that box shows up, she's like, that's $70 worth of food. You know, our whole family grocery budget is $200 every 2 weeks. And you just spent $70 on three meals, you know? So I think, you know, the key is to find things that not only where I feel like I'm making a gesture, but where the gesture is equally appreciated. You know what I mean?
Have you asked her what that would be?
I have. First of all, I explained to her why I thought the Blue Apron thing was kind of a gift to both of us, right? And it's like, hey, the business has taken so much away from us in terms of time and attention. I mean, yeah, it's $70, but it's giving us something a little bit back, you know, time together. And she said, you know, you could just stop at Aldi and pay $5 and get a bouquet of flowers for me. That's enough to let me know you're still thinking about me. And I'm thinking to myself, really?
I can get off with that. That's
that's it. There's just some learning. I guess I still need to feel that out. And there's no sense in doing like whatever the gesture is, Blue Apron or whatever it is. There's no sense in doing that if she doesn't appreciate it. And in fact, if it makes her frustrated, right? She feels like she's trying hard to keep the family on a budget. And here I am just blowing money.
Yeah, I think that's an important point in terms of when you have such limited time and resources to give toward each other to really maximize the benefit of whatever it is that you're deciding to invest those time and resources in. And I think there's probably not another way to do it except to ask, like, what do you need right now? How can I help you this week? I mean, Rob and I have talked about and are in the habit of doing this sort of Sunday night meeting where we check in about what the week looks like and what the schedule is and who's picking up who and where are we going and just all of the things that go into running the week. And one of the questions that we've started asking is like, hey, what do you need from me this week? Like, how can I help you? How can I support you? And it's different every time. Sometimes it's a date night. Sometimes I'm like, I need a night off. I want to go out with my friends. And sometimes it's like, I'm good. I'm cool.
But there's a sense in which you want him to participate in the details of family life and where you feel like he's pulled away or distracted or his head is somewhere else or even like feeling stressed about all of the tasks that aren't getting done. And that it sounds like that makes both of you feel kind of bad.
Yeah. And I guess sometimes I'm not very understanding because I'll be like, you know, you're putting this stress on yourself. No one asked you to go and try and start a business. Like, I didn't ask you to do that. So I get a little frustrated because it's like, I don't need you to do this for me, but he's doing this for the future so that hopefully someday down the road, we can have kind of the ultimate dream of him not having to work full time and him having, you know, to work maybe a couple hours a day from a remote location like a sailboat in the Caribbean.
Then he moves to Bali.
Exactly. And that's his dream. And it sounds like a wonderful dream. And I love his dream. But my concern is, are we going to be able to sustain ourselves and our marriage to get to that point that we can have that dream? Because if we get there, because you've been, you know, slogging for 20 years trying to do this, are we even going to have a relationship left at the end of that?
At the end of the process.
The process. That concerns me because, you know, you can't just not water, you know, your grass for 20 years and then expect it to be green at the end, you know? Like, we have to spend time together. So
do you feel this scarcity of time and attention kind of eroding the strength of your relationship?
I would say it's definitely not as strong as it used to be. And yeah, when you said you wanted to do this, I was like, well, how honest should I be? I am kind of an open book, too. I mean, everything pretty much that I've said to you, I've said to him at least once. So you usually don't have to guess how I'm feeling. I'm usually more than willing to tell you.
Yeah, I wish you the best. I'm hopeful for you and Val. Obviously, you all have a lot of fun together and have a strong connection. And it sounds like both of you are very much like desiring for this to work better, not for the business to fold or fail or stop doing it, but for you to be who you are as an entrepreneur and as a creator and as the founder of Mastermind Jam, but also to have a really healthy and strong marriage and family life. So it's a big challenge.
Yeah, that's the number one goal, because that's really the order my priorities are in. Everything I do for my family, because I feel that this can make us stronger in the long run. But I also don't want to mess everything up in the short run.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.